Well, I think I'm okay. I think I'm doing okay now. Everything that has been said, starting with faith, I want to take you back a couple of weeks. The message was, it's better, the first of three things. We can't pass on to number two or three, because number one is where you're all coming from. Because some of you don't believe it's better to know the truth than not know it. You getting this, Alice? The second, it's better to know the truth than not know it. It's better to speak the truth than not speak it. And it's better to walk in the truth you know than not walk in it. We'll get to the other two as time goes on, I'm sure. Right now, we're stuck. Because we're not really taken to heart the word. Is it really better for me to know the truth about myself? And I said, what truth? And then I said, what? The truth about yourself. You remember that? Maybe that went over our head. I remember. Because that is the first level of truth. It's not about somebody else. It's not about even God. It's about you. Are you willing to tell the truth? You know, we were given the ability to know the truth without, before we ever got born again. Yeah. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, unless you're reprobate, you or born with a missing chip, you knew when you were doing something wrong. You knew the truth. It was wrong to hit your neighbor on the head with a hammer. You knew that. So do we really want to know the truth about ourselves first? Because he ain't going to line everybody up and say, oh, here's all your victimizers. Here's all the people that victimized you. You know, that's what most of the church thinks. They think Judgment Day is for other people. Ah! They're going to stand before the throne waiting for everybody else to parade in front of them who made their life miserable. And after they wait a while, the Lord's going to say, what are you waiting for? Well, Lord, I'm waiting for all the people that victimized me. And then, boop, a big mirror's going to pop up. There's your enemies right there. What? Anyway, Creflo Dollar didn't teach me that.
Dollar.
He's among the top 5 millionaires in the kingdom. The guy makes $50 million a year. Creflo Dollar.
Crumpled Dollar.
He makes more than, what's his face? What's his airplane?
Richard Branson?
No.
Doug McMillan?
No, the faith guy.
Copeland.
Copeland. He makes more than Copeland. And he's Copeland's disciple. I guess he did a good job. I got another thing to say about Black Lives Matter. Out of the 10 richest multimillionaire preachers in the world, 8 are black.
Oh my God, really?
So black lives do matter. Anyway, I didn't intend to say anything about that, but there you have whatever that's going to do you. How, the question is asked in Isaiah. The Lord says, how is my faithful community, church community, Christian community, how is my faithful people become a harlot? That's the question. You know what the answer is? It was full of judgment. Now this word that I'm going to give is really going to open some doors, I think, open some eyes. It was full of judgment. Put another word in there. Okay, you could say it was full of truth. It was full of faith. Those who don't take on the spirit of judgment are not in faith. And you know what else? They do not want to know the truth. You can't make judgments if you don't know the truth. You think that's true? And you won't want to know the truth if you don't have faith. The faithless in the church community are the people who refuse to make judgments and who really don't want to know the truth about themselves. So that's what I'll start off with. And then that's in Isaiah. I'm going to get back to that, but before I do, I want to just go back to Salvation 101. And I realize that you can be born again without the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues. You can be. I think the scripture is pretty obvious with that. Jesus breathed on his own, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And they did. But they did not, they were not baptized in the Holy Ghost. They did not have the gift of tongues. They were not even physically moved. How will I know I've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You will, not only you, but everybody around you will see your reaction. It will be outwardly seen by all. You will speak in other tongues. And you will be physically, spiritually, emotionally moved. Yes. If you're not, you didn't receive it. Now, how can I say that? Well, y'all have all the scriptures on the baptism of the Holy Ghost that I gave you. There's many. All of them conclude that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will speak in other tongues. All the scriptures I gave you conclude that. It's in every one of the four Gospels where Jesus prophesies it and said, "I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire." What's the difference between water baptism and the baptism of the Spirit? Well, I'm going to give you the illustration of it. Water baptism is you being submerged into the water. The baptism of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ baptizes you, you stand under Niagara Falls. The baptism from heaven is Jesus' baptism. The baptism of water is John's baptism, which transcended the age. It transcended into the new covenant. It became a sacrament of the New Testament church. It demonstrated the song that we sang that Cece explained. It demonstrated from the earth to the grave, and the grave from the grave to the sky. That's what water baptism demonstrates. You're buried with him in the likeness of his death and burial. And when you're raised out of that watery tomb, you're raised with him through the operation of resurrection. Which, by the way, when you're resurrected, you're not resurrected onto the earth. How many of you know that? Just to warn you,
right.
When you die and we bury you, when you're resurrected, you won't be resurrected onto the earth. You'll be resurrected in heaven. That's testimony. Whose?
Jesus's.
Okay, now that moves me into this. What is a testimony? Now, I'm going to take you back to the ironclad proof without any other scriptures. There's one scripture that's a testimony that concludes speaking in tongues with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you have to, instead of looking at the black and white letters, and instead of memorizing what it says, you have to look behind it to see what is the demonstration of this? What is the life behind it? A testimony is this. If you do what I did, what happened to me will happen to you. If you experience what I experienced, what happened to me will happen to you. If you learn what I learned, what was taught to me will be taught to you. Not in type and shadows, but directly. Exactly. Precisely. That's testimony. Well, how do we know if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you will speak in other tongues? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Peter is explaining what happened to them. He's saying, no, we're not drunk. Day of Pentecost. Thousands in the market. Upper room. They hear all kinds of languages and stuff going on, and men praising God in languages throughout, you know, probably 20 different languages. It's one of the celebration seasons, so Jerusalem's filled with foreigners. The scripture says, and people heard others praising God in their language. 120 people filled with the Spirit, prophesying and praising Jesus in some language together. That was a holy noise.
Yeah.
So Peter's explaining, no, these guys aren't drunk. He says, so he goes on to say, the same Jesus you crucified has been risen and has shed forth the Holy Ghost. And he prophesies, Joel, in the last days I'll pour out of my Spirit. All the Jews knew that scripture. They knew the scriptures. And he says this, he says, whom you crucified. When they heard this, they were stunned. in their heart. And they began to say, "Men, brethren, what should we do?" They believed him. They were pricked. They were convicted. "What shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent." He probably said, "You're going to have to change your mind and change the way you thought about this man, Jesus." That's probably what he said. "And you all can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and your sins will go away. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Okay, let's draw back. Let's profile Peter. Now that's what I'm going to get into today. Do you know the Bible is filled with profiling? Filled with it. Do you know what precedes judgment? Is profiling. Do you understand why the political correct movement moved into laws being made, airlines, police departments, that you can't profile anymore? Which I'll have something to say about that too. Okay, Peter's perspective. Peter said, if you change your mind the way you're thinking about this Jesus and apologize and call upon him, your sins will go away and he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and you'll receive the gift. That's what Peter's saying. From what perspective is Peter speaking? Well, what happened to us is we repented. He sent the Spirit and we all spoke in other tongues. We received the gift of God, which is other tongues. So, it's so important it's overlooked. It's so foundational the church misses it. It's, oh well, it's the lesser of the gifts. You know what? Tongues might be the lesser of the gifts, but it's the beginning of walking with Jesus. You don't need to speak in tongues in the church as much as you need to prophesy so people can understand you. That's a given. But they kind of missed it here. If you are a farmer and have to plow your field every spring, the donkey isn't that important, but what he does is everything. So you don't worship the donkey for donkey's sake. You don't worship tongues for tongue's sake. But tongues is actually the proof and the vehicle through which your communion with God begins and exists. It's absolutely necessary. It's not a fringe benefit.
Can I say something? That was the thing I read that day, was they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Then they laid it at the feet. They laid their feet at the feet of Jesus. And before that,
Right. Yeah. So we kind of get that, right? So that is probably in a court of law all that's necessary. That's an eyewitness testimony that cannot be refuted because 3,000 people witnessed it. 3,000 people witnessed the speaking in other tongues, heard what was necessary to get it, did what Peter did and the 120, and it said 3,000 souls came in that day. By their perspective, what are they saying? When they say 3,000 souls came in that day, what do they mean? 3,000 people were filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues. They didn't quietly stand there and have some nice warm feeling in their heart that they'd been saved. That's not, if that would have happened, they never would have said 3,000 people received. The whole group received. When the charismatic renewal began in the late 60s into the 70s, a guy named Ralph Martin brought 40-some of his disciples to Ann Arbor, Michigan, where there was a great move of the Holy Ghost going on. There was a bishop, I forget his name right now, maybe Ranahan was the guy. And, no, he was a scholar. And a bunch of students started getting filled with the Holy Ghost, the Catholic movement there in Ann Arbor. That's where Notre Dame is, right?
No.
Yeah. No?
No, Notre Dame's in Indiana.
Okay.
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan, okay. Well, Bredesen. Harold Bredesen was Episcopalian. His whole church got filled with the Holy Ghost. So if you're Catholic, you don't really feel real comfortable going to a Pentecostal. But you can bridge a gap with an Episcopalian or a Lutheran if you don't hold a grudge. So the leader of this Catholic movement that started this little movement talks to Harold Bredesen. Harold Bredesen instructs him. Then you know what they did? They contacted the Full Gospel businessmen and said, "We got a move of the baptism going on here. Can you help us?" Thousands of Catholics started coming into the baptism. A guy named Steve Martin brings his 40-some disciples there. They all get filled. Well, there's a Cardinal Sunens over in Europe who hears about this. So he brings Steve Martin to Europe. Hey, Steve Martin's not even a priest. He's just a laborer. A guy that's got 40 disciples.
He's a plumber.
He goes over there, and within I don't know how long, thousands of Catholics are filled with the Holy Ghost. So much so they had to have a convention in the Vatican. Unbelievable stuff. And you know how it started? Well, we went to this meeting and we heard about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and we got convicted that we didn't have it. We asked the Lord to give it to us and He filled us all with the Holy Ghost. Can that happen to us? Well, if you do what we did, he'll do what he did for us. You know, this kind of runs contrary to every scholarly mind out there. Well, there must be a progression of things to do. There must be things you have to learn. There must be classes and courses we must take. No, just say, you know, Lord, I'm really sorry that I haven't received this and sought after it, but I really want it. If this is real, Lord, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Yep. Thank you, Lord. Oh, it can't be that simple. For the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off. Even as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he exhorted them and testified. The most powerful thing you have is your testimony. Please, make it short. Don't bore people with all your gory details. Nobody wants to know. Nobody wants the X-rated version. The PG is fine. Save yourselves from this perverted generation. Excuse me? He just profiled his own generation. If you see a bunch of perverts, they're with us. Okay, so I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 1. This is great profiling here, by the way. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom and Gomorrah. What? Who's he talking to? Must be talking to Sodom and Gomorrah. No, he's talking to his own people. He's talking to his sons and daughters. Hear the word of the Lord, you leaders of perversion. Give ear to my law. And he goes on down, Isaiah 1:10. He goes on down 11 through 15. I won't read it, but this is every religious duty that's out there. He's describing what the Church of Jesus Christ does every Sunday. They put on the face. They worship. They speak words of God. They tell each other they love them. They give into the offering plate. They do all these things. He said, I cannot abide this. Your solemn assemblies, I cannot abide it. Your new moons, your feasts, the spreading of your hands, lifting your hands in worship of God. I will hide my eyes from it. Your many prayers. When we're in Prescott, we ran across this guy who's promoting the Potter's House. It's a big church. It's a big work. I mean a big work. In Prescott. And they're big around the world. I mean, they have prayer meetings before every service. They have prayer meetings every night of the week. And their number one form of evangelism is rock music.
Still?
Oh, yeah. Concerts. Which includes, I'm sure, rap music and the rest of the garbage that's out there. Yeah. Baal worship. And you know what? They got thousands. Duh. No wonder. If you're playing the same song that the world loves, they'll come to your meeting. They'll play in your sandbox. I'll hide my eyes from you. Your many prayers I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. So, wash you, make you clean. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. And with that, you can say, be in faith. Seek to know the truth and walk in it. Come now, let us reason together. I don't know if you... This will make sense. Would you call me? Would you say, yeah, Gene's a preacher? How many of you think of me as a preacher? Yeah. Gosh, nobody? No, there's no. Your head just took over. No, your spirit goes, well, no. He doesn't preach. Do I preach at you?
Yeah.
What do I do mostly? How about this? First of all, there is no word in the Bible that says preach, preacher. Oh, there is. That's not the original. You know what the original says? Proclaimer. Now, I'm willing to concede that there is a spirit of preaching. I don't know exactly what I think about it because I've sat under some pretty wild preachers. And they're very entertaining and they're very exhilarating to listen to. But you couldn't get anybody in those meetings to even tell you what he said afterwards.
Right.
It's kind of like what you say about denominationalism.
Okay, so, well, it's kind of a different thing there, but I would say my anointing is an anointing of reason. Yeah. Reason. I say, more than anything, I reason with you.
Yeah.
If you think about it. Now, this is scriptural. Come, let us reason together. Now, what makes us different than the common, normal churches out there? There may be some preachers, proclaimers, that reason truth with their congregation. There may be. You know what the problem is? Yeah, there's no reasoning back. And when you don't have an opportunity to respond and reason back, let's see, come let us, I guess we lost the us. Come let me reason with you. Now, I'd be okay with that, but that's not what it says. The Lord says, let us reason together. That includes you. His body, his church is not included in the Sunday morning thing and Wednesday thing and the Bible study and the Sunday school. It goes on. So what's missing? Your response. Do you need to respond? No, Brother Solo, we just need to sit and listen. Take notes. Remember, learn. Put it in our notebook. We can go over it later. Who are you going to reason with then? Well, you'll reason between you, your mind, and the devil. Well, I don't know what I think about this. Yeah, I know. I don't either. What do you think about that? You got this three-way conversation going on. Two people you can't see. Though your sins be red as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white like wool. How do you get that? By reasoning with the Lord. But don't do it according to the contemporary example. Because he said, I'm not listening. I'm not looking. It's an abomination to me. You leader of perversion. So then it all goes on down. So it, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Do you?
Yes.
That's a very weak yes. I Lord, I'll ask again. Do you eat the good of the land here?
Yes.
I hope so. Because if you don't think this is the good of the land, I can't help you. If you refuse and rebel, like Debbie did, you get to go live in Grand Junction. That's very close to Moab.
Literally.
Yeah, it's very close to Moab. It's very close to the cursed places on the earth. It's almost hot as hell. It's filled with religion. And the only truth that people will tell you is, I don't like you, get away from me. If you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord. And then he asks the question, how has my faithful community become as a harlot? They used to have judgment. Now I'll go back to the profiling in this nation. Think about this. Intelligence, technology, science. All three of those have been working overtime for 100 years at least. In the highest places of governments to profile criminality. Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you think Hitler was being profiled before the war?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You think Japan was?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Little yellow people?
Mm-hmm.
Slow pads, slant eyes? Well, no, I mean, it's part of the profiling. You call the red man what?
Indian.
Red man.
Redskin.
Redskin.
Redskins.
Why is that white man?
At red man. Yeah. Why is there no objection to calling us white? We're not white. There isn't a white one among us. Well, we're just not white. I take objection to that. I'm going to sue the next person that calls me white.
Let's go riot.
I mean, do you see the stupidity of it? You can't call a red man red man. You can't call a yellow man yellow. You can't call a black man black anymore. You got to call him a Native American. What's a Native American? He's black.
African American.
African American, Indian. See how confusing it is? I was confused. So, the issue is, I don't know if you've ever really considered this. We've spent billions of dollars in science, research, ethnic studies, cultural studies, social studies, to profile people. You know, okay, let me move on. This will make more sense if I just move on a little. Let's go to Titus. Titus would not be welcome in today's church. Well, neither would Paul. Of course, neither would Jesus. But and neither am I. Okay. So Paul says in Titus, he says, I'm an apostle, servant, slave. The real word is slave. Paul, a slave of God. You think the progressive left would have a hard time with that? Every African American should go, wow, maybe being a slave ain't such a bad thing. Yeah. An apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the elected of God, is the way it reads. You know what that says? Every apostle is elected. He didn't just slip into it. He didn't wake up one day and realize somebody made him apostle. It's an elected position of God alone. And just to the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after God's ways, godliness. Does that make sense? In hope of eternal life, which God, who is not a liar, promised before the world began, but has in due times manifested his word through, it says preaching, the original says through proclamation. Now I draw a little difference there, because preaching as I know it, and as many of you know it, really doesn't fulfill the reasoning principle. Right. Have any of you ever sat under really heavy preaching? Have you ever really sat under a real heavy preached message? Yeah, there's no room for reason there. Well, Jimmy Swaggart really was not even a traditional preacher. No, Finney wasn't a preacher. Finney reasoned the truth with people. So, he says, so to Titus, my own son after the common faith, for this cause I left you in Crete. Now just follow me. Don't read ahead because I'm going to jump. For this cause I left you in Crete to set certain things in order. And one of the things was to set elders and deacons in and overseers, which the word used in here is bishops, but it's really overseers. Overseers of the church. I left you in Crete to set things in order. Okay, let's jump over to verse 12. Oh, well, no, let's not. Let's go to 10. There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, mind deluders. The original says, mind deluders. You know, when you dilute something, you take away from it. You change it. Deceiving is, you know, deception is something we kind of all understand. But deception has a real depth to it. Some people are tuned in enough to recognize deception, but they're not tuned in enough to recognize being deluded to where it's not as important as it should be. That's the biggest one. Well, he didn't really mean that.
Bicycle.
Now there's some true judgment. Poor guy's riding a bike down a dirt path hundreds of yards away. Buddy does not like it. So now this is profiling. Listen to this. They're unruly, empty talkers, mind deluders, especially the Jews. Did you get that? Wow. Paul, you're saying the Jews as a whole are mind deluders. Well, if you've ever listened, I remember being on a flight, maybe it was to Amsterdam, and I stood and I talked to this Jew, this rabbi, some kind of, anyway, he had the beard and the little cap and the suspenders, and, you know, if you clean him up, he looked like a Mormon or a Jehovah Witness. With the beard and the little cap, he looked just like a, what are you, aesthetic Jew? I don't know what you call it. Little braids and stuff. Talk about mind deluding. I had to go back to my seat to remember my name. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they shouldn't for money's sake. One of themselves. Who's he talking about? The Cretans right now. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. Is there a little profiling going on there? Wait a minute, Paul. You're saying that basically the culture of the Cretans are liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies? That's what he said. He profiled the culture. This witness is true. Just in case you didn't get it. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Notice he didn't say in love. Well, I didn't like what they had to say because I didn't feel like they were really saying it in love. Wow. So what? Is it true? Is it true? If it's true, forget the love part. Just change. Love would be for you to change, not for them to say it differently. You getting that? By the way, the word rebuke, in the original, you know what it says? Convict. Convict. Wow, that excites me. Because that's my job, is to convict you. How many, well, let me just put it like this. You can, I'm a big boy, I can take it. I want to know the truth. Do you feel like I rebuke you more or I convict you more? Both? I don't want to hear that.
You know, I think just what he just said is right. It depends on where we're at,
yeah.
How we hear it.
How many have felt, well, I rebuke you? No, just kidding. No, what?
No, I was going
to
say.
That has to do with the circle of trust.
Yeah, the circle. No, I was going to say I would say it's conviction, but what I was going to say is there's a scripture that says that, you know, that the wise receive instruction, but fools despise reproof. So the fool sees it as rebuke, the wise sees it as instruction. But either way, you're still going to feel convicted.
Yeah, in the original, there's convict.
Says reprove, rebuke, exhort.
Means convict. Reprove, convict.
Yeah.
See, I would say, now this is my perspective, because I love myself. I would say that I rebuke far less, very, very seldom, that mostly the initiative is to bring conviction.
Yes, it is.
Because rebuke doesn't produce the same thing as you being convicted. Rebuke is kind of a slap in the face. Conviction is what happens in your heart.
Yes.
And when it comes from you, it carries more weight. Actually, it has potential for you to change that when it comes from me.
Right. Yeah.
Because when you leave the presence, you can always say, well, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Right. Which a lot of us do.
Yeah.
So, this witness is true. Therefore, convict them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Okay, pay attention now. Convict them in what? That's not good enough. Truth, of course. Jesus. Love. Convict them in what?
To stop being unruly, vain talkers, deceivers, and subverting whole houses, and teaching things which they ought not.
And being
evil beasts, slow bellies, etc.
That's it.
Liars. Liars!
Liars. Evil beasts that have no... What's an evil beast? Has no compassion in tearing you apart. Liars are easy to see. What's a slow belly?
Mine says
a glutton.
Yeah. An idolatrous glutton. I think we've got past that.
Well, some of us are still working on it.
Now, I want you to get this. So what goes on? How important is profiling? What are you going to speak to if you don't profile? What? How great you are. How good you are. How nice you are.
Flattery.
Flattery. So if you don't profile in the truth with the intention of making a judgment, speaking that truth, if you don't have that, and I'm not saying not to have love, I mean, if you really don't love somebody, shut up. You don't have any right to talk to them if you don't love them.
You really have Jesus if you don't love.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're, you know, trying to get rid of a guy that's picking your pocket, you know. But you got a profile. Or you won't know what to speak to. Now, here's the deal. You mean, Brother Sullivan, I have to start profiling people? No, all you have to do is be sensitive to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
He's already profiled them.
Wow. And ourselves.
He profiles everything and everybody.
Yeah.
For their good. For their salvation. So, look at the wisdom in Timothy here. What's Paul saying? He's saying, hey, Timothy, The Cretans are slow belly evil beasts. They're liars. And it's in their culture. It's who they are.
Yeah.
So you got to know what to speak to. Beware of the lying. Beware of the evil beasts. As a matter of fact, when you discern beasthood in somebody, just walk away. They're not going to receive a word one way or another. Just walk away. Get away. Get away. Rick went up to somebody, went up to Hell's Angel in Jackson Hole, handed him a track. The guy said, "What?
You're ugly.
Clean shaven.
Your breath stinks.
And your mother dresses
you dresses you funny."
You know, a wake-up call. And when I don't know if you remember, but the ministerial I talked to, we had a short relationship going on with a pastor up in Cody, who told me, "Yeah, the Hell's Angels are doing their convocation in Cody this year, and the ministerial, you know, group is getting together to try to figure out, you know, what to do, how we can serve them, whatever." And so I said a few things. He says, "Would you come up and talk to us? Because of my history with the Hell's Angels and whatever." I said, "Yeah, I'd be glad to." I went up there and I said, "So what do you got planned?" "Well, we're going to do a pancake breakfast and, you know, hand out tracts and whatever." I said, "First of all," I said, "you guys, if you're going to do a breakfast, don't say nothing to them. Don't give them a track. Don't think that because you're giving them breakfast, it's an open door to speak to them about Jesus. They're going to know you're the local church. They know you're feeding them breakfast. That's good enough." Because I said, if you want to create problems for yourself, if you want your people cuss to in their face, you know, if you want some Hell's Angel to drop his pants and pee on your leg, just try to witness to him. I don't know what happened. I mean, we didn't go and show up or nothing, but...
You don't like their preaching, don't preach to them.
Man. You know, if they go to your... If they come to your church, great. If they're not coming to your church, don't bring your church to them.
Right. Yep.
So... Okay. Unto the unbelieving, nothing is pure. And that tells you right there.
Wow.
Even their mind and conscience has been defiled. In works, they profess to know God. In works, they deny him. That's profiling. Okay, I got just a few things here. Profiling and corresponding words. You don't have to go out of your way to try and profile people or try to discern them. If you're in the Spirit, and if you're in the love of God, when you confront somebody, or when you meet somebody, or somebody meets you, you're going to know your boundaries by the freedom and the liberty you have. The Spirit, like I said, the Holy Ghost is already profiling. The Holy Ghost knows exactly the word they need. If you love the truth, if you'd rather know the truth than not know it, if you're in faith, and if you're willing to speak the truth and make judgments, you'll have a word for them that will directly fit their profile. And actually, they will be amazed in their heart that the things you're saying fit their life.
That goes along with the scripture in Proverbs that talks about a word fitly spoken in season.
So, and this talks about young men. Now think about our young men. Okay, they got some younger than others. I would say, from my perspective, a young man is in his 30s or 40s. From Martin's perspective, a young man is in his 50s.
70s.
Hey, well, you could be right.
He gets younger every day.
I may feel young, but I ain't moving like a young man. I went up Jeremy's second story on a ladder yesterday up there in that barn. And I got to the top where I had to get between these trusses. And you just have to turn sideways. No matter how big you are, you have to turn sideways. Which means I had to do something with my left leg. And if I was going to go higher, my left leg had to get one rung higher and go up. I found myself having to work at that. Just because my legs don't have the power they used to have. Before, just boop, right up it. But, you know, you notice some of those things once you transcend from young man to maybe...
older man.
Middle-aged man.
That's why the older men have wisdom.
Yeah. So it says, young men, likewise, exhort to be
sober.
Sober.
Sober-minded.
Now, this is interesting. Because we have a very interesting, I'll keep reading. Now, you judge whether these young men fit this profile. You judge. To be sober-minded, which could mean discreet. In all things, showing a pattern of good works. In doctrine, uncorruptible. Grave, showing themselves to be grave and sincere. Having sound speech that for the most part cannot be condemned. How would you judge our young men? It is. And gravity means solemnity. That goes back to being sober. Serious. Reserved. When I look at these guys, this is very uncommon for this generation. But see, they haven't been introduced and fed a diet of rock and roll, rap music, emotionalism.
Pleasure-seeking.
Yeah, pleasure-seeking. You know, selfish practices. Yeah, we need to shut that up. Sounds like somebody's dying.
Dinosaur.
He needs to be a monk. He needs to play being a monk.
Yes. Sound speech.
Sound growling.
Yes.
seen but not heard.
So, I wrote down a few things. You profile behavior. Well, I won't say you, but the Holy Ghost profiles behavior and character. First, you have to learn how to discern that. Because behavior and character has its origin in spirit. It is always a spirit. You can always identify once you, and that's one of the great gifts of the Spirit is discerning of spirits. And there's a reason for that. Because the Holy Ghost has profiled people and has passed that on through discerning of spirits. Appearance. Appearance is a manifestation also of a spirit. Relationships. Relationships feed spirits. Misery loves company. Joy loves company. I mean, relationships say everything about who somebody is. That's why in the very beginning when Obama, before he even became president, I was saying he's in relationship with this Wright, this Jeremiah Wright, whatever, with Bill Ayers, who the head of the Islamic Nation was the guy. Farrakhan. All his key instructive educational relationships were with terrorists. Muslims, Islamic terrorists, Islamic fringe people. That was his relationships. And because, look at the power of PC. Look at the power of Camp Profile. Look at the power of that. Now, I don't believe for a minute that the FBI doesn't profile anymore. Or the CIA, or the DOD.
They do.
But, you know, even back before the war, I asked, do you think they profiled Japan, Germany, Italy? Yeah, how do we know that? Because if you look at your 1934, 35 through 1940 movies, they already had Germany at war. They already were doing movies about fifth columnists coming into the United States. They were already doing movies about that. Where'd they get that information? So, but what was the issue there? Isolationism. This country was, you know, nobody wanted to get involved in another war. Why? Because we sent hundreds of thousands of men over to Europe for World War I, lost their lives, gained nothing. Nothing. We didn't gain nothing over there. Yeah, so that was just, they didn't want to do it. Whose fault? The leadership's fault. So anyway, all of those things are important. And the last thing you profile is activities. You know, activities. It's impossible for somebody who has an evil heart to do good things. Impossible. Even though they appear to do good things, like giving to the poor. You know? What's amazing, raising money. What's amazing is every catastrophe that happens in this country, all of a sudden, these 501c3 charitable organizations come out of nowhere. Everybody is begging for money for, the poor people down in, you know, Texas. The poor people over in Florida. So,
I was thinking about a scripture this morning. I couldn't even remember what it was, first off. Just the phrase came to me, if I didn't do something, you'd have no part of me. And as I was just working out, I remembered it's just Jesus talking to his guys. He says, you know, if I didn't wash your feet, you'd have no part of me. And so I just kind of read through that chapter and even on through, it's John 13 is where I was reading. But then he even goes down to say, you know, after, you know, basically, so you've seen me do, washing your feet, so go and wash.
Do that for other people.
Yeah, do that for other people.
Yeah.
And then he even, you know, he talks about, you know, I'm going to leave, but I'll send you the Holy Ghost. Even the Spirit of Truth is how he words it. That you'd have, you know, that you'll be okay. And that's what you'll have to be okay with is the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of Truth. I just thought it was interesting. Even like the profiling to me, and your daddy was talking, I thought of. Said something. Oh yeah. She was talking about receiving the one sin, and I wrote to myself, you know, if you can't receive the one sin, how will you ever be the one sin?
You won't.
Yeah.
And if you can't receive the one sin, how would you ever be the one sin? But even profiling, I'm thinking, you know, I mean, sure, people look at it as a bad thing, but you can't be helped until you're profiled.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Each one of us, you know, whatever, us young men, I mean, yeah, it is just it's a blessing, the upbringing that we've had, but when we were all younger, each one of us had to be profiled.
Uh-huh.
You know, who we were, what we did. Just thinking about that, how, you know, it's just interesting just that popped into my spirit, you know, just washing each other's feet, but really, just hearing it today, you know, it's, sure, washing somebody's feet, it's not just the warm and fuzzy, but it's, hey, you know, you stay washed, if your feet aren't being washed, if you're not, you know.
Yeah, he's at your feet.
He's trying to wash your feet.
So, and what did the church get out of it? A foot washing ceremony. I just hate that. That's a foot washing thing in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
I was absent for every one of them.
I just,
that made me sick. You missed the whole message there. Well, Shannon was going to say something.
Profane and vain babblings. Up above it says, study to show yourself approved, the workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And just kind of what we were talking about too with each other, one another. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness.
Well, that scripture only applies to the woman. Never mind. I'm profiling.
What?
I'm profiling the women. Vain babbling.
And texted.
What did you call us? What did you call us, Joe? He had a name for it. Oh, they will eat as a canker of whom my name is and the latest.
Yeah.
And you know, I was thinking about that. I think that was the scripture I was thinking about when I was sharing, and what Debbie was saying is, you know, if we don't judge ourselves,
we'll
eat of the poison. But speaking of profiling, the guys are profiled, these guys that the lawn crew.
Oh yeah.
I have to just tell you this story because I went to get gas at Shiloh.
Holiday Inn.
I go down there, and I'm not even looking at the guy. I'm just getting ready to pay, and he says, "How many of you are around here anyway?" And I realize I'm wearing my Team Jesus, and I look at him, and I go, "Oh, there's several of us, you know." And he says, "You know, it's just funny how you don't expect it to come out of a guy who's in his 30s. He looks like he's in his 30s. He says, there's some guys that come around here, you're a bunch of them wearing these shirts. He says, they get gas, they come in here. He goes, they are the most courteous, kind guys I've ever met. And he goes, you know, there's a lot of people that come in here, you ask them, how you doing?
how's your day going? Good. And they don't look at you. He goes, these guys look at you and they say, how are you doing? How's your day going? I mean, this guy just kept talking to
me.
And I just started having a conversation with him, talking about these young guys. The guys, I said, yeah, John has a crew. And then he said, and he goes, who's that owner? And I said, oh, you're talking about Gene, the guy who does the jump program. I saw them down at that monster truck. And so we talked about the monster truck exactly. And
yeah.
How you came out of that. And I said, go to jumpforjesus.net. You'll see all our videos. But anyway, I just wanted to share
that. Wow.
Because there's the profiling, and you guys are in the community, what it's saying.
That's great.
To them.
That's great.
Well, there's good ownership. There's a lot wrong with it.
Yeah.
People saying that they don't need to speak in tongues because it's the least of the gifts. Because the word talks about needing the least in many different things. It says, you know, it's done by the, you know, the kingdom is shown by how you treat the least of them.
Yeah.
It uses the analogy of the body, even the least of, you know, the least of the bodies. Important.
Yeah.
You know, I got a revelation yesterday after we went and sang. It's like heaven comes to earth in this nursing home. It's the weirdest thing. And I think probably because all those people are on antidepressant drugs, probably all the staff is on antidepressant drugs. And you know, I was thinking more about that. And you know, once we have a profile, like Dylan said, the first scripture he gave me is spiritual things to the carnal mind are foolishness. I was going to tell a little secret about him. There's times when I'm in my office and he's in the bedroom, and I've gone in there half an hour later, and he's like just laying in bed talking to the Lord for half an hour. I mean, talk about connected. He's been a really great example of staying connected. So I started reading scriptures on joy last night, and I realized that joy, you know, those that are led by the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is righteousness, peace, and joy. And even the people that wouldn't receive each other because they didn't receive Jesus, because Jesus shows us how to wash feet. He shows us how to take grave clothes off. He shows us how to profile for the sake of deliverance.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Good.
And, that's right.
And, you know, the spirit that we contain together as a group of singers, because of our endurance and our faithfulness and our keeping a covenant with each other. I mean, I don't even think we see what a mystery that we contain. Was there 8 or 9 of us? 8 of us there yesterday?
Yeah, I said it's your covenant together.
Yeah.
It's your being filled with the Spirit. And it's your all under authority.
So I started reading scriptures on joy. I didn't bring them out here. But there's these scriptures on joy that really put together a picture for me. That there's temporal, meaningless joy that never can never get enough of, whether it's idolatry in relationships, whatever, sex, drugs, rock and roll. The world knows fake joy, but they don't know the giver of all joy, the true joy in your soul that comes from losing your life, from picking up the cross, self-denial in itself. We've all had to be profiled by the prophet and decide we were going to deny ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's our common cup, our common bread. Those who have made a covenant and sacrifice. The sacrifice of denying yourself. The sacrifice of suffering each other's sins and loving each other and helping each other along the road of self-denial. And there's a, you know, it came to me as there's like a present from God that's wrapped up in a package that most people will never get. And it's true joy.
Yeah.
It's joy unspeakable and everlasting joy shall be. Oh, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Return from their profile. Return from their demonic spirits.
Yeah.
Return from the rags, from the from the crap, from the old, return from the old man and put on the new man. They shall return, they'll turn around and obey the Spirit and stay connected. Like ever since the first prayer, it's been talking to us about being connected. Because every day we're in a battle, and the battle isn't over until we're dead, of staying connected to the Lord and what we do with His children.
Yes.
Just like Linda was sharing with Bob. Betty was sharing with Lloyd. Staying connected to Jesus in the way they... I mean, even my reflection of who do you need me today to be to my husband, to your children? Because it's not about me. It's about my service to Him and His people.
Yeah.
And when you deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Him, it's not about you anymore. It's
That's
about
right.
you
That's right.
being pleasing to the King and you serving the Father in a right spirit towards His children. You know, fulfilling the royal law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, that there's only one law. That's the law that we all have to fulfill, is am I really loving Betty today like I love myself today? And, you know, I was thinking about that. But you can't, it's funny that Sunrider sells a little bottle of joy, but we have something. We carried we were a container. We were a bottle of joy that walked into that place.
Yes.
That rich people can't buy.
Right.
That drug addicts don't have, that sex addicts don't have. We contain something together that is something wholly given from God that men can't acquire through anything but denying themselves and picking up their cross, putting off the old man. And really, you know, the Holy Ghost said to me one day, what will a man steal his joy for? If the joy of the Lord is our strength, that joy comes from self-examination. And am I really following the flesh or the Spirit in this activity I'm in? And really being able to deny ourselves for the greater cause. Our ungodly appetites, passions, emotions, desires.
Let me... let me conclude with this. I'll show you how this is just an example of the Spirit profiling a situation. So Matende thanks us every month when he receives our gift. And he said, greetings, receive in His name. The funds were received have helped us a lot at this time of political shaking in our nation. Now, I don't know all the political shakings going on in Kenya, but I know. How do I know? Because it's no different than what's happening here.
Yeah.
And how do I know that? Because the principality and power of the air is doing the same thing with all the nations. That's what's going on in Korea. Korea and this little madman's threats and all that stuff, that's no different than the Democratic Party. It's the same thing, only he's over a nation, has a little more power to scare people, okay? And that's what's going on in Kenya. And so he says, for those of us who are built upon the solid rock, we're not moved with what's going on. Continue to pray for our nation. Well, this is what started getting to me. See, that means something probably totally different to me than it means to him. Stealing of presidential votes and tribalism. Africa has a lot of tribalism, a lot of tribes that, you know, their tribes are like, you know, the neo-Nazi party in America, all the different, you know, the Black Lives Matter. That's tribal warfare, okay? That's what our thing is. We don't call it tribal, but that's what it is. He says, stealing of presidential votes and tribalism must stop. Well, Titus says their mouths must be stopped, okay? Were they? No. No, they weren't stopped. Matter of fact, they continued and got worse. We are planning for public prayer for the community around us to call on God. Well, I felt like I needed to speak into this. Because if they're praying that God stop the vote stealing and stop the tribal dissensions and warfares and divisions, God ain't doing that. Why do I say that? You got it. Wickedness in governments and in the social sector, tribalism, will prevail. Sure, he didn't like that. Because he has given the world sovereignty, and the devil has authority to rule the rebellious. When you decide to be rebel, to be a rebel, to rebel against what you know is true, you have just given Satan and his emissaries authority to rule you in that matter. That's how important that is for us to know.
Can you repeat that just one more time, too?
Wickedness in governments and social sector will prevail because he has given the world sovereignty. He has freed the world to exercise their will. And the devil has authority to rule the rebellious.
Yeah.
But his church exists in the realm and rule of his kingdom here on earth. Our power and authority exists in influencing men's souls and hearts toward Jesus Christ. We do not have the power to tell God what to do about the things in man which he has given them authority to do. This is such a key.
Oh, yeah.
God gives men authority to exercise their will. We're going to say, God, take that away. Don't let them do that. He's not doing that. Why? Because, first of all, he never goes back on his word. So what power do we have? We have power only to influence. Get that through your spirit. He told us how to pray, "Our Father in heaven, let your kingdom come, let your holy will be done, even within the hearts of the lost and the rebellious. Provide for us, your children, heaven's bread, forgiveness, protection from the evil one, and your righteousness." He ensures our peace if we walk in his light and not stray into the path of man trying to deal with them after the world's ways. The Lord give you wisdom in how to pray. See, the Catholic Church is one of the Catholic Church's biggest issues is they are involved in the world's ways. They're involved in social activism, in all kinds of things to change laws. It may seem honorable. It may seem like, well, you know, it's a good work. But ask yourself this question. Okay, who are the evil beasts of this world? And who are the slow bellies? Who are the liars? Are you going to govern them by changing laws? Or can they be governed by a change of heart from the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You see the difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So somebody says, well, the Catholic Church has done a lot to bring Reformation to social issues. I would agree with that. So has the Constitution. So has the laws of the land. Can you imagine what it would be like if it wasn't against the law to steal? If it wasn't against the law to kill? I mean, there's very little penalty anymore, but still, just think if there were no laws. So, the world's ways, the world's laws, do bring a measure of, I won't say peace, but it brings a measure of rule, right?
Right.
So, what has the church fallen into? The church has fallen into governing, trying to govern with the world's tools.
Yeah.
Trying to bring men to repentance through the law.
Yeah.
Well, you say in some aspects that works. Well, it doesn't work for their eternal soul, but it works for maybe their temporary existence. But where we miss it? Where is the real power of influence? What do you lose? What's being loosed when we get involved in world governmental systems? Well, we're not loosing anything that isn't already there. We're just entering into what exists. By the way, there is a measure of power there because God set that in order. God set the laws in order. But where's the true power? See, this is what we don't really believe this. I'm here to tell you the real power is to bring conviction to men's souls. You don't even need laws if that exists.
That's right.
You can strike the record from all the laws. Let me ask you this. See if you can pay attention here. What activity, what criminal activity do you not act in because of the law? How about you, Deanna? What criminal activity do you not do because it's against the law? What criminal activity would you do if there were no law? Huh? None. Anybody else?
None. Yep.
Huh?
That's what I'm talking about.
I do that anyway. By the way, that's not criminal.
That's not criminal.
That's not criminal.
Depends on how bad you drive it.
Well, yeah, but that's not really criminal. Come on.
I knew that would be what you
talking about stealing, killing, lying to somebody's hurt. We're talking about that, criminal behavior, okay? Telling a lie. What did you lie? Well, I said I didn't have a screaming yellow zonker, and I did. Not criminal.
But I only have one.
Can you think of one criminal activity that you would be doing if the law didn't say you couldn't?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, but you weren't. How were you doing with Jesus at that time? Yeah, you were a mind deluder. You were under mind delusion. No, there's... I hope I'm talking to a bunch of sane people. There's,
oh, yeah.
Please, don't squeeze this to death. Just the answer.
Just give us the answer.
The answer. Well, the answer's nothing.
That's right.
Nothing.
There's nothing that you're not doing that's criminal in nature because the law says not to. You're not doing it because it's not in your heart to do.
Yeah.
So you got this raghead, right?
Yeah.
Bearded, raghead, Islamic, sword-toting jerk in front of you that wants to cut your head off. Now, you can either shoot him if you have a gun, but if there's 50 of them, it doesn't do any good. Or you can use the power of influence through the Holy Ghost. You don't have the power to stop them. But I'll guarantee you the Holy Ghost knows just what to say to back him off.
Yeah.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Because once that point of conviction hits him, he's turning around. You ain't worth it.
You know what's interesting? Is that almost every culture on the planet, when you're sitting at somebody's dinner table, it's like a hallowed ground.
Yeah. Which isn't, yeah, if actually you sit down with a terrorist at dinner with them, they can't kill you. If they bring you into their house and have dinner, if they bring you to dinner, they can't kill you. The book says you can't, they can't do any harm to you. So if a terrorist invites you to dinner, go.
Don't be terrorized.
Anyway, do you see the wisdom in that? Because I know what these guys are going to pray. I have no doubt. Oh, Lord, we bind this evil activity in our government. We ask you, Lord, to expose these, which that's a good prayer. Ask the Lord to expose it. I don't have a problem with that. Expose works of darkness. We're to do that. That's a good prayer. But asking God to stop it, you know, stop the vote stealing and stop the tribal wars. I mean, come on. I think if they really ask the Lord, what can we do? He'd say, get a hold of all the true believers in the political realm and sit them down and say, you alone have the power to bring the influence of conviction into government. You alone have that. And so you need to ask the Lord for wisdom and how to do that. And I think the Lord would tell Matende, they used to send teams out to the different areas in Kenya and preach and give testimony in the marketplace. I don't think they do that very much anymore. But that's how to stop the tribal warfare, is to get out there where the tribes live in certain areas and just proclaim the gospel. Now that may not work. And if they prove themselves unworthy of the gospel, then you shake the dust, you move on. But you know how to get God smack dab in the midst of a tribe? Go proclaim his son. Go proclaim salvation. Proclaim Jesus Christ. And if they deny him, the Lord's visiting them in a different way. If they accept him, then the Lord's visiting them in a different way. Totally different way of thinking about things. All right, huh?
He's going the other way now, the biker.
Yeah.
Oh, was it? Is he?
Yeah, he's going that way now.
He's going a little faster now.
All right. Well, we've talked about a lot. You have been reasoned with. Hopefully, does it make sense? I mean, these are things we should think about, talk to each other about, and let it become yours. Think it, you know, talk to the Lord about these things and see if he doesn't bear witness to, yes, that's right, daughter. That's right, son. That's exactly right. And
you know what I heard you say is, you know, the only thing that we can do is influence. You have to be used to bring conviction. I remember also one time you said that it all starts with being honest with yourself.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me, Greg Gutfeld. I don't know if you ever watch Greg Gutfeld. That guy is just tremendous. But here's an observation of Trump. Now, this guy is not necessarily a Trump idolater. I mean, but he had this to say. I mean, he's pro-Trump. He's just, he can also bring some negative things that, you know. And the biggest negative thing about Trump that I see is he just speaks off the top of his head sometimes. Yeah. He gets way ahead of himself. Well, anyway, he said the greatest thing about Trump is when he is confronted with something he's done, he owns it. Yeah. Yeah. He owns it. He admits it. And he said, you know, the rest of these guys, oh, well, you know, and they blame somebody else or, well, this or that or the other thing. He says, you know, not voting for you. And that's really what we need to do, is just own it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only shame is not owning it.
Yeah.
And if you own it, you can receive the Holy Ghost, you can get filled, and you can change. Well, we were going to go to the fly-in next week in Rifle. I don't know that I feel that's necessary. I mean, if they call me and want me to come, I'll probably go. But so far, there's no obligation there. And we may have an opportunity to go later, a little bit later. So we'll see. But at this point, I don't really feel like we'll be going to Rifle next week, in case some of you remembered that we were. But I think we should agree in prayer for Jeremy's barn to get everything to go decently and in order. Everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Yep.
And Dan's house is, they're going to start building around October 13th.
And our house goes on the market
in a week and a half. And Russ and Jeannie's house goes on the market in a week and a half. Yes. Things are moving?
Yes.
This is the year of building?
Yes.
Expanding?
Yes.
Our tent. When we got this property, I did see other structures up here.
Yes,
I did. And it's evidently going to come to pass. And it's kind of funny because where Dylan's and Esther's house is, I saw that piece there, and I just saw that we needed to have a house there. And I didn't know, thought a guest house, you know, whatever, but it's coming together.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you for your manifold blessing to this little command that you've set here in the wilderness. And I'm not just talking about this place, Lord, with this ground, but in Billings, every house.
Yes.
Every house is a command post, is a post in this area. And Lord, we just thank you for it. Thank you for keeping all of us safe. Thank you for keeping our households intact, for providing for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you today. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for opening our spirit man and our eyes to your kingdom and how you function, and so we can be in line with what you're doing on the earth and not continually being contrary to your will because of what we want. Thank you, Father. We bless you. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this hasn't been too bad out here, huh?
No, I like nice.
Good. If it's like this next week, I think we should do it.
Yeah, if it's at least going to be this warm, we'll probably do it. Without the tent. We don't really. From now on, probably it won't get more than about 75 degrees anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right. Just bring a sweater, bring a hat if you need.
Blanket, blanket. Suntan lotion. Umbrella.
Good job. Oh, I'm watching. Yeah, right. Sure, I didn't even know.
So, Betty, I told Lloyd, Jake's at 5.
Monday? Okay, all right. Should I tell the Terrys and the Herbs, too? That's what Lori requested.
Yeah, I think. Okay. Yeah, tell them.
Yeah.
Thanks, Betty.